What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. This is Resistance in Residence, where we profile artists using their gifts to change the world. This week's features Jamaica-based reggae recording artist and community activist and fashion designer I learned, Tough Like Iron.
I grew up in Brooklyn. I was born actually in Manhattan, and I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And I started traveling to Jamaica at age 8, and it was a very transformative experience for me. I don't know, I just always had a very close connection to Jamaica, even though I was in New York. But you know, New York is kind of like another part of Jamaica because there's so many Jamaican people here. So my father actually is from Trinidad. That's why I love New York City. You know, it's the whole world. You know, you really can have a very international experience, and you know, so many different cultures and flavors. It's a real melting pot. So you can kind of gravitate to whatever culture you resonate with there. You know, there's Nigerians, there's Jamaicans, there's all kind of, different people from Russia and all different kind of, cultures of people from around the world. So it's a special place. Jamaica is kind of like that too, to an extent, very international. I've met so many people in Jamaica from around the world. And to be honest, although Jamaica is like a small place and it's a third world country and people have to struggle to be able to get all these visas and stuff to go to America and things like that, it's my connection to Jamaica that has made me travel. And most of the people I know from Jamaica have traveled way more than the American people that I know. Although they have way more restriction, their talent and their, just the vibe and just the culture and, the whole thing. I think I have a lot of friends who've traveled all over Russia and all Africa and all, different kind of places with the music and dance. And so, yeah, I love the culture,
So talk a little bit more about your parents, your moms, your pops.
Well, my father, like I said, was from Trinidad. Actually, he was born in St. Vincent. So my thing is confusing. You know what I mean? I got into an argument with someone the other day because I was saying a lot of people from Trinidad, a lot of African, people from African descent from Trinidad, like their family came there from a different country. And the person really was offended by that statement for some reason. But it was kind of like my experience because my father grew up in Trinidad, but was born in St. Vincent. So if you were born in one island and you left there when you're 2, you don't really know anything about the place. You know what I mean? He doesn't know anyone there. We went to St. Vincent. So my father actually plays the drums, and I was able to do a couple performances with him. He came to Jamaica. We performed at Jamnesia together and a couple other places. And my mother is a chef. She has a restaurant. She's a really great chef. My mother's actually Italian and Irish. But for some reason, she liked Jamaican stuff too. I don't know. She always was around a lot of Jamaican people. So that's why she sent me to Jamaica, And just growing up, I was like, from my first went to Jamaica, I came back home to New York and I was writing in my school. They have to write all these little papers in school. I was 8 years old and I was writing, I'm going to move to Jamaica. So I'm living my dreams of my 8 year old self.
That's beautiful. Not a lot of folks can say that. I don't even. Oh, I wanted to be an actress. That was my ear stuff, and I do just that in addition to all the other things I do. I
Isn't
giggle.
that great?
It is. It
Fulfill your
is.
dreams, people. Don't sit there and not try. Just try. Maybe it'll work. So, but
The
if you don't
universe.
try, it definitely can't work.
What I'm learning in my older age, I wish I'd known it earlier because I would have gone even harder in the paint, is that the universe wants to give you all of the things that it is you desire, all of it. Like, and usually we say, "Oh, I just want this much." And the universe goes, "Okay,
Well,
well,
here you go. Yeah.
there's that much, but
Here's
I'll
your
be
door.
here when you
Go
change
come.
your
Here's the
mind."
little.
And I think especially black folks, yeah, I mean, I think that we're conditioned through our oppressor to
Yeah.
not expect or want for too much. I mean, I remember my granny being like, she called it being fanciful, or get out of your imagination, right? There's no room for that. But she was also, what, one generation removed from the plantation. So what could I really expect?
The timing, but I mean, I feel like Caribbean people are very, especially older people, are very kind of like, have a, unfortunately, still a very colonialized, mindset that they kind of be like, fit into this box. But I don't know, Jamaican people are very rebellious too. So there's the box, but then they're so rebellious against the box too. So that's why we have like reggae music and culture and Rastafari and stuff like that that developed in Jamaica because of the rebellious, spirit.
When did you discover music?
Well, music, to be honest, has been like my main companion through life. I didn't grow up with any brothers or sisters. I was, an only child when I was young. And to be honest, it was a bit of a rough upbringing. I had like some challenges. My mother had a boyfriend who was very violent. And so we end up kind of, being under this violent. I had a stepfather, the ones that really step on you. I had the stepping type of stepfather. So it was, it was rocky. My mother actually left and ran away from the person, and I didn't want to go with her. She was going to a shelter, and I was like, I don't want to go to no shelter. So I just didn't go with her. I was 14 years old, and I've been on my own since 14. So due to the rockiness of my upbringing, music was like my main source of comfort. And I used to have my little headphones, and I used to just be listening. I used to watch a lot of MTV as a kid and watch music videos. I loved watching music videos, and I always felt like I wanted to create music videos, as well. So it was always, my main, it was like my blanket, music, Bob Marley. And Black Uhuru. And I've been listening to these music since I was a little child, although I was in New York. And there was obviously hip hop influences as well. I used to like to listen to like Hot 97, the hip hop radio station, but they also had a reggae show. And I remember listening to it since I was little, Bobby Conders, big up Bobby Conders and Jabba, and my brethren Lando Hype. Who Massive B, they're still in New York. They're still, burning that reggae fire. And it was just, it was just energy. Growing up in those times, music was just everything to me. And I remember the music vividly from when they would play those dance hall songs like them a bleach, them skin, them a bleach. When I was a youth, I love the vibe, Super Cat was my favorite too. I love Super Cat. And even growing up in New York, they had, like I was saying, so many different cultural, influences. When we would go to the bodega, we would hear the Spanish reggae, the Panamanian dance hall, like El General. Te ves buena, bien, bien buena, tú te ves bien, bien buena. And I loved all of that stuff, It was musically rich time, I feel like, when I was growing up. I don't know what's going on today. I feel like the music is kind of.
I agree. I agree. My playlists are all old school
But
reggae.
there's some great vibes too. I don't want to say that because then that I'm in that category. I feel like there's a lot of great music, but that we don't discover, and that being a musical artist and having a talent and sharing it with the world is one thing, but like really getting it to the right people who would resonate with, it can be very challenging. So I wouldn't say it's not happening, but we're maybe not hearing it.
I realize that's a segue, or maybe not. Maybe I'm forcing it to be a segue because, and whenever I talk to reggae artists, I bring this up, and there's a local incident recently at a Nyabingi. that sort of relaunched this conversation for me, and that is that talk about reggae music as rebel music. Yes, it feels good. Yes, it's about love, but born out of, literally, out
Yeah,
of.
it's born out of the struggle, and it's definitely, about rebelling against the system, and you know what I mean? That just, there's different aspects of reggae. There's the love aspect, there's the lover's rock, there's the roots, like Burning Spear and those people. I love Burning Spear. He was one of the few people who would always sing about Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey is such an important, figure in history, not just Black history, just history overall. Because who, that's what I'm saying, who can have an idea or an ideology and get millions of Black people around the world to support it and be involved in having chapters in different places? From Kingston, I've been to Liberty Hall. Oakland, I've been to Liberty Hall. You know what I mean? So that stuff is amazing because we have to sing about Marcus Garvey and we have to sing about Haile Selassie, King Haile Selassie and Empress Menen and, Black history and a lot of things that, unfortunately, even though you might be in the Caribbean, a lot of the education is, still very colonial. So you're like in a majority Black country. One of the things that really pisses me off more time, I'd be like, why don't they have like more statues of the Black people who have done things here? I've been at, at UWE, and then they put this little Marcus Garvey, like this little head. It doesn't even look like Marcus Garvey or anything. And then they'd be having these statues of these like colonial oppressor people, and you're in a Black country. It's like it's time for us to get rid of those things. And it's good to see in America they did get rid of it. Like people are against that type of stuff nowadays. So I like it. There's a lot of just change happening in the air. They legalized ganja. People started talking about giving Black people reparations. I don't know if that's gonna happen or not, but that was something that I only heard in reggae music. You know what I mean? That they would talk about reparations and repatriation and going back to Africa and us as African people. And you know what I mean? Our culture and being proud of our roots and our heritage and stuff. So there's not, they don't have another music like that. Most music is not really about anything in particular. You know what I mean? So it's a rebel music. It's like a tool against oppression to kind of make a stand and say, no, we're not going to work with this. Or, songs like Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up. That's a revolutionary anthem worldwide for anybody that's oppressed. You don't have to be Jamaican or Rasta or anything Caribbean or any, there's people all over the world connect with those, sounds, because unfortunately oppression happens everywhere. You know what I mean? So we're always trying to just make a stand and stand up for what's right. And reggae music is deeply rooted in Rastafari. It's not exactly the same. They're not one, but they are, very closely connected. And Rastafari has a mission overall. When you see real Rastafari people, they are supposed to be doing something very simple. And it named do good. That's what we're supposed to do. We do good. The sick nourished and the infants cared for and the ancient protected. That's our creed. You know what I mean? So we're supposed to be in service to our community, So that is a big message in the music. And also, like I said, love. There's a lot of reggae music about love. And just Black love is a revolutionary act, you know what I mean? Expressing yourself and having even the joyful music that's about happiness is it's a revolutionary act because this whole system is just designed for us to like spiral into deep dark holes of depression. So if we can make people smile and dance and feel joyful, that's also, a very revolutionary act. So every song doesn't have to be about, we're burning down the system or whatever, sometimes just, we're here gathered together. Holding a joy and giving thanks is, that's the vibe. So it's got all the vibes we need.
It does. I'll just say two things and we'll move on. One is even if you actually follow, now I'm about to date myself when I say the reggae artists that I follow. If you actually follow, like even the folks that you would dub as singing love songs, like Barris or Taurus, if you really follow them and you really listen, right? Even they're spitting politics.
Yes.
And then And I just wanted to lift up. He was a resistance artist. There's a brother. His name's Dwayne Wolf. If you haven't come across him, he's got a one man show about Bob, and he's Jamaican. And he goes to songs that even I didn't realize were rebel songs. It's a dope experience and journey to take. Talk to me about this name of yours, Tough Like Iron.
Well, if you rewind a little bit in the story, you would remember that I said I was on my own since 14 as a young girl. And I really had to be very, focused and try to be strong because there's any number of things that could happen to a 14-year-old girl that you could get involved in different things. I really had no, parental supervision at all. So I would go to school, I would do my schoolwork, and then I connected with a family that kind of took me and adopted me to an extent when I was 15 in Jamaican families, and they would play music. The two brothers, one would play guitar, one would play drums, they would cook, and we would just be there having a good time. So the Most High guided me and blessed me, protected me. But the name Tough Like Iron is really comes from just the experience of, going through certain, challenges and trying to stay strong and stay focused and, not just give in to all the different things that could, pull you astray or just bring you into a bad situation. So as a young person, I was very like militant. And, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. Certain things I was very afraid of trying certain things because there wasn't really anyone around to catch me if something happened. So I was like very, do this, do that. I never drank a beer until I was in my 30s, I was very like, I stopped eating meat. This is what I do this. It works for me. I'm gonna keep doing this, keep myself safe. And, the tough like iron is kind of like a mantra to keep my mind and my spirit and everything in alignment and just be strong because I know there's going to be challenges out there. There's a lot of challenges. I've seen some. I've, witnessed challenges of others. And you really have to be strong to make it in life. There's a lot that can really throw us off and kind of lead us astray out there. So, it's more like sometimes people find that name strange when they see me show up. They say, "Oh, you don't look tough. You're tough like iron." And I don't really know what people think that strength looks like, But a female like myself can be very strong. A lot of times it's men who say this. They're like, "Why you're tough like iron?" They think it should be like a big Hulk looking man. You know what I mean? But strength is not just something physical. It's also, can be a spiritual strength, can be emotional strength. It can be creative strength, you know what I mean? So just being a strong person doesn't necessarily just mean the physical aspect of it. So being able to keep going and persevere and just not give up on myself or my vision or the way that I want to carve out my little lane in the world, I won't give up on that and I won't compromise, So that's why I'm tough. That's what keeps me going and makes me strong, So that's what the name is really about. I feel like I didn't know it was so controversial, but every time I do an interview, the people are like, "What kind of name is this?"
Oh, I don't think it's controversial. I kept I've got a friend goes by Tough Lion, and so, like I
Oh yeah,
kept
I know Tough Lion.
tough, yeah. So I kept thinking about him, and after our first interview, no, I like to know where artists, pull their
Well, I feel
inspiration
like I said, it's
from.
mostly men who feel like that's a strange thing for me to be called and that they like to then challenge me about it.
And gave birth.
Because it's really easy to bring human beings through your body. I
You
have
know,
two. One of
exactly.
them was almost 9 pounds. So
Oof, oof.
chat to me. I had my two children at home. There was no drugs. There was no, nothing. There was no, what that thing is, that big needle thing that they
Yeah, I
had to
didn't get
put
that
into.
either.
Yeah, don't get me started with the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of that. I think they bring black mothers in there and give them a C-section, and they don't care about black people at the hospital. So I was really afraid of the hospital. So that's also why I wanted to do a home birth because I felt more safer than I don't know, just that being in that kind of state, giving birth, and you're very weak afterwards and vulnerable. And I wouldn't want to be left in like the white hospital establishment in that kind of a situation. I would be nervous that what if somebody did something to me, or did something to my child, or switched my child. I'm an overthinker,
That, listen,
so.
but listen, what we know is that America has some of the highest infant and black mother mortality rates
Yes, the black
in
mothers
the
get things.
world.
They do not care, and people have even was one of those Serena Williams? Was Serena Williams? Yeah, you can be a top celebrity making millions of dollars. They don't believe you for some reason. So I'm good. I'll just stay at my house.
At the time of this, we're about to wrap up, but at the time of us having this conversation, we just watched Jamaica be hit by the strongest hurricane on record for the country ever.
Yeah, it's devastating, really, really devastating. And it's going to take a lot of years to rebuild, and we're going to need a lot of support. We're going to have to do things a little differently, But I must say that the positive thing I can see in all of this is that what was meant to destroy us is only going to make us stronger and only bringing us together more. So we see people coming together in a way that I've never seen anything like this. The response and the aid efforts and the different events that people are organizing, the fundraisers, the shows, we have, if you see right here, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Stay Strong Jamaica, that we did as a collaborative t-shirt with some friends in Northern California who have a print shop, One Drop Shop, and Epicenter Sound. They keep reggae events in Bolinas, California. And we created this shirt together as a little fundraising effort. So people are dropping off goods, people are volunteering. I mean, the togetherness and the unity in Jamaica and with Jamaica, it's really, really heartwarming. So the devastation is really awful and dreadful and terrible to see, but the unity is so inspiring and uplifting. So, sad that it takes something like this for us to come together in this way. But we're together now, so we'll see what happens next. I love to see it.
Where can my listeners learn more about you, follow you, keep up with what you got going on?
Yes, keep up with the Tough One. I am on all the platforms, Tough Like Iron. TUFFLIKEIRON. And also check out my clothing line. They can get a Stay Strong Jamaica t-shirt also on my website, toughlikeiron.org. There's more music, there's music, there's videos, there's my shop, my tough shop with my crochet hats that I make. I do crocheting, and we also have like hoodies and different stuff on there. So, grab a product. Just support the mission because, I'm an independent artist. I don't have a label or a big budget or anything. And I think the work that I'm doing is important, and I need support so that I could, get it out there more. You know what I mean? So the clothing is a part of supporting the mission. And, just sharing the music, listen, share it with somebody who might resonate with it. So that's what I would ask for you. Was listening. Just check it out, check out the vibes, and spread the vibes with me, because it's all about spreading the love. And toughness is about tough love, because that's, as I said, a revolutionary act. It's easy to get angry with people and curse them and fight with them. That's really easy. It's hard to show love.
All right, family, you have been listening to Law and Disorder. I'm your host, Kat Brooks, and this week's Resistance in Residence feature is Jamaica-based reggae recording artist and community activist Tough Like Iron. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And everyone, just, stay strong and keep doing good and stay tough until we link up again.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA, that's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. Our Resistance in Residence theme music was composed by Jesse Strauss. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA, that's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listeners. If you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.